Afternoon. I'll have to agree with Ricky. It's a beautiful day. Maybe we deserved it, maybe we didn't, but it certainly is nice outside. We are going to finish our study of Jesus' apostles. Long time ago, I guess it's been around 2,000 years ago, there was a Judean mother who held a bouncing baby boy on her lap. Maybe she cuddled his face, maybe she played with his fat little fingers. I have no doubt that she loved him with all of her heart, just like a mother would. His name was Judas. Now, Judas is not a name that we appreciate much in today's world. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are all real good names for little boys now, but not Judas. You might name a junkyard dog Judas, but you're not going to name your son Judas. It's a name of infamy. And I want to spend a few moments this afternoon looking at some truths that we can find out about Judas. First, his crimes. He was a first-class hypocrite. He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It must have been a dark night. Jesus had been praying there in the garden, and he'd been praying so hard that sweat dripped off his forehead like drops of blood. The apostles started to realize that they had failed Jesus in his hour of most need. All of a sudden, there was noise, there was movement, maybe a clash of armor, there were voices in that place of prayer. And all of a sudden, a man came up to Jesus and with words that sounded ominous said, "Greetings, Rabbi." A supposed friend, Judas, kissed Jesus on the cheek. Jesus' reply to Judas was, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Judas' crime was dreadful. He betrayed the Son of Man. He sold out Jesus to his enemies. Let's look just for a moment at Judas' character. He was a man, I think, of impeccable character. Before the crime, he was a man who had a good reputation, a good character. I doubt anybody gave him a second thought. They just felt like he was a fine fella. There are three truths that we can learn about his character. First, he traveled in the right kind of company. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, Paul said bad company corrupts good character, good morals. So we ought not hang around with the wrong kind of people. But Judas didn't. He hung around with the right kind of people. He was there with Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and 12 of the greatest, or 11 of the greatest men who ever walked the face of the earth. We can learn from this. We need to keep the right kind of company. You know, I heard about a fellow who was a preacher, and he saw a guy, he was a drunk. His wife attended church where this guy preached, and he knew who this man was, although he'd never been there when this guy had preached. And he was laying in the gutter there. He walked over, he helped him to get up, he walked him back to his house. He propped him up next to the door. While he was getting his keys out, the preacher was getting ready to leave. The man said, "No, why don't you wait a few minutes? My wife's about to get home. I want her to see the kind of company I keep." Well, it's a funny story. But we know that Judas hung around with the right kind of people. Again, Jesus and the other 11 apostles. Judas had a good reputation. In John 13, 25, on the night that they were there in the upper room, the night that Jesus was betrayed, the question was asked, "Lord, who is it?" No one even considered that it might be Judas. When Jesus told Judas to do what he needed to do and Judas stood up and left, we read, some thought because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Nobody even considered that Judas was the one who was going to betray Jesus. There are two important things that we need to note here from this passage. Number one, I just said none of the other disciples even thought about Judas as the betrayer. And number two, And some people might say this is more important. You didn't give money and make treasurer someone that you didn't trust. It had to be a man of good reputation, a man of good character. Finally, he was a religious man. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. He did religious things, at least on the outside. But in spite of all these things, on the inside, he was dead. He was as rotten as can be. God doesn't see as we see. We see the outside, but God sees the inside. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And I'll declare to them, 'Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You know, I drive once or twice, sometimes a day, down here on Bridge Street. I go past the Burroughs Ross Cobble sawmill down there. And you know, it's just a sight to see. Sometimes I even pull over. Now, I never see them cut those logs up, but I do see that thing that spins them, and it cuts off all that bark, and then it sends them on down into the sawmill. I figure they cut off that bark to keep from dulling the blade on that sawmill. And you know, I have looked. Some of those trees that go through there are crooked. Some of them have got what used to be branches, and I'm sure there's a lot that's got knot holes on them. But when it goes in there and that saw trues it up, I've never seen this in there, but I've seen it on TV, that piece of lumber is just as square and is as flat and is as true as it ever could be. Okay? But that's what Judas was. On the outside, he looked great. He was square. He was true. He was just as straight as an arrow. But on the inside, he was full of all sorts of, you know, branches and knot holes and what have you. Jeremiah wrote in 17:9, "The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Next, we come to Jesus' choice. Why do you suppose Jesus chose Judas to be one of his apostles? After all, Jesus knew that Judas was a crook. He knew that Judas is going to betray him. How do I know that? Well, it's obvious. Jesus was God. God is omniscient. He knows everything. So Jesus knew all of this before he even chose Judas. He didn't make a mistake. He did it with his eyes wide open. Early on in his ministry in John 6:64, Jesus said, "There are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. So when Judas popped up that evening and betrayed him with a kiss, everybody else might have been surprised, but not Jesus. Why would Jesus choose this man, knowing he was going to betray him, and add him to his group of closest friends? Well, he had to fulfill prophecy. In John 13:18-19, Jesus said, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me.' Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, that you may believe that I am he." Now Jesus said in this passage that the scripture may be fulfilled, that someone who would end up eating with him, someone would betray him. Now, this is a quote from Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you read through the New Testament and you relate it back to the Old Testament, because there you see the inspiration of the Bible, how the New Testament and the Old Testament are connected together, the fulfillment of the Old Testament in the New Testament. It shows the inerrancy and the accuracy of it and the inspiration. Jesus also made the choice of Judas to be an inspiration to us. In Acts chapter 1, when they chose a replacement, starting in verse 15, "In those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, 'Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. It became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it's written in the book of Psalms, "Let his dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in it, and let another take his office." Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. They proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Jesus was wise in choosing Judas because he could look down through the corridors of time over the centuries and the millennia and know that there were going to be a whole bunch more Judases coming down the line. Jesus let one of the 12 be a hypocrite to let us know that if we run into a hypocrite, he knows what we're feeling like. How wonderful it was that the other 11 didn't quit. Judas couldn't stop them. I have known people who said, "I'm not going down there to church. It's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites down there." Don't let Judas keep you from getting into heaven. There are people out there, and I don't know what some of the new names are, who refuse to even consider the Bible, God, or Jesus Christ because of all the folks out there like Oral Roberts and Jimmy Swaggart and what have you. But you know, we need to consider that Judas was only one out of 12. That's less than 10%. He was there to teach us a lesson. Hypocrites come and hypocrites go. But Jesus is real. And we don't get run away by hypocrites. We're drawn closer to Jesus or by Jesus. Jesus I'm sorry, I can't get past that hypocrite thing. Jesus' choice shows us the inadequacy of the social gospel and the need for new birth. Now, what is the social gospel? Well, this is something that's going around our society nowadays. And it's not the true gospel. What is the true gospel? Well, it's redemption through the blood and faith in Jesus Christ. Every Christian ought to be interested in making the world a better place. But making the world a better place doesn't save one soul. Only Jesus can save a person's soul. People say, clean up the environment and everything will get better. Well, you can't clean up the environment and improve everything. Where did sin begin? I want you to go back a long time ago. It was in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Where would you find a more perfect environment than the Garden of Eden? And yet that was where sin started. Who had a better environment than Judah? Judas. He had the Son of God, Jesus, and he had 11 of the greatest men who ever lived to be friends with. But he hadn't given his heart completely to Jesus. Jesus' choice also shows us that it's possible for religious people or church people to be lost. He was a religious man. And there are a lot of people in this country that think that as long as you're religious, you're going to be okay. But Jesus was betrayed by a religious man, and it was a religious crowd that sent him to the cross and crucified him. People don't need religion. They need Jesus. We can be religious but lost. Today's church, rather than being a force for evangelism, has become a field for evangelism. Judas worked for Jesus. He was a preacher and a teacher, but you can be a preacher, a teacher, an elder, a deacon, a song leader, or what have you, and still be lost. Judas lost his salvation. Jesus said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." We can go through the motions and still be lost. 2 Corinthians 13:5 reads, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that you yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Judas ought to be a warning to all of us. He was a religious follower of Jesus, but he was lost. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Jesus is the door of heaven, and Judas went up and kissed the door of heaven and then turned around and went straight to hell. Are you honoring God with your lips, but your heart is far from Him? Finally, Judas' condemnation. What did his sin do for him? Sin deceived Judas, and Judas betrayed Jesus. What he'd done, just in a matter of, maybe it was only a day, hung over his life like a pall. His mind and his heart were consumed by the fires of hell. His conscience tortured him. He made himself an accuser. He threw those 30 pieces of silver down and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And those priests said, "What is that to us? You see to it." In other words, we don't care. Judas experienced remorse, but not repentance. Proverb 20 reads, "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel." Sin offers so much, but it delivers almost nothing. It tastes so sweet on the front end, but the aftertaste is so bitter. Sin deceives. Satan is the deceiver. It offers much, but he pays little. And so then we've got Judas, his mind torn to pieces, his conscience destroyed. Heard about a fella who was having problems with his trash pickup. He must have lived in town, not out in the country like most of us do. So what he figured he'd do was he went out and he got himself a big old Amazon box. He packed up all of his trash in a garbage bag and he put it in that Amazon box and he taped it up and he set it right out on the front porch. Went away to work that next morning and guess what happened? Somebody came along and stole that Amazon box. Now that's a funny story, and from what I understand, it's true. But think about it. You know, I don't know that we could say Amazon box, but that's what Satan offers us, is something like that. It looks great on the outside, but inside it's full of trash. Sin destroyed Judas. He slipped away, he went out, and he hung himself. And he hung there for a certain amount of time, his body decaying, the smell getting worse, his body swelled up. It hung there for several more days until eventually it rotted enough that either the rope let go or his neck let go. It fell down to the ground and his body burst open and everything inside ended up coming out. He threw it down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. Sin's not pretty. It killed both Jesus and Judas. They were both hanged on a tree. They both died because of sin. Judas because of his own, and Jesus because of mine. Sin also damned Judas. What happened to Judas after his suicide? Well, Jesus said about this religious man, it would have been good for him if he'd not been born. And we read in Acts chapter 1, 25, I've already read it, but I'll read it again. "This ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." If you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you've been born twice, you'll only die once. That lonely body swung from that rope for a certain amount of time, but long before it fell to the ground, the soul was in eternity being punished. In closing, we look at Judas and we might feel sorry for him, or we might think, "I'm glad I'm not like him." But if we think, "I'm glad I'm not like him," it might be that we feel just a little bit better than Judas. And certainly we ought to, but not a self-righteousness which can doom us. You know, Judas was a pretty bad fellow. And I'd like to think that everybody here is better off than Judas. No, we haven't had the opportunity to sit around and listen to Jesus speak, but we've had the opportunity to hear an awful lot of gospel sermons and Bible classes and what have you. Somebody once said that there's more people that are drowned in 50 inches of water than in 50 feet of water. But they're both just as dead. The choice is yours, Judas or Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 30, 12:20, He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. If Judas had come to Jesus in repentance, Jesus would have forgiven him. Instead, he goes down in history as a man who's a good, bad example. If you don't want to follow in his footsteps, then you need to follow in the footsteps of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing?